Chances are, if you know me, David Mann, then you know my wife, Tamala Mann. We're a package deal. Years ago, this beautiful woman and I fell in love and made a commitment. We committed to love together, live together, dream together, create together, and play together. And together, we never look back. Sure, we have different talents and gifts. Tamala is obviously an incredible anointed singer with a flair for fashion and a heart of gold. Now, I'm the funny one. And sure, sometimes the world says, good job, Tamala, here's a Grammy. Or, all right, David, here's an Image Award. Those accolades we get as individuals are valuable to us only when we share the joys and the sorrows together. We are first and always a team. I can't imagine life without her. When Tamala and I talk about where we are today and how much we've been blessed, we see how it all started long before we even met. Right, dear?
That's right, babe. Tell them how it all started.
The beginning of life shapes you for the rest of your life. I might not have enjoyed every moment of my childhood, but I wouldn't change a bit of my journey now. If every twist and turn happened so I could be where I am today, then every tear and every year was worth it. I was born in Lubbock, Texas, to an incredible, resilient woman. My mother, Sandra Mann, not only was the rock of our family, but also she was a miracle worker. Somehow, with just a seventh grade education and living on a very limited income, she raised five strong sons by herself. And she taught us how to be honorable, honest, and holy. I'm the second oldest of five. Each one of us has different fathers. Now, from my mother, I learned who to be. From my father, I learned who not to be. In my more than 50 years of living, I saw my father about 6 times. I had one conversation with him a few years ago, and 6 months later, my father died. Now, my mom had her first child at 14. She had me at 16, and she was a baby having babies. And she experienced a lot of difficulties because of it. My grandparents forced her to quit school when she was in the seventh grade. Because she was so young, the family judged her harshly. The community she grew up in labeled her as damaged goods. It's a shame, really. Mama had so many natural talents and skills that she could have become whatever she put her mind to, but she had no one to help her. No one was willing to mold her, nurture her, or see her, really see her. So like many people who've been overlooked and rejected, my mom searched for love in all the wrong places. What I remember most about growing up is that we always move. Not long after my second or third birthday, we moved from Lubbock, Texas. My mother got married for the first time, and we moved to St. Louis. But that was only a pit stop. Before we could get accustomed to our new home, the relationship between my mother and her first husband became more than toxic. It was outright abusive. So my mom packed me and my little brother up, and we left with only what she could carry in her hands. We boarded a train in the middle of the day while her husband was at work and headed back to Lubbock, Texas. Now, a year or so later, my mom met this nice young man, so we thought, who ended up becoming her boyfriend. Then came another move, this time to California. The weather there was sunny and hot, but the relationship was cloudy and cold. And within a year's time, child number 4 was added to the bunch, and we found ourselves circling back to Fort Worth, where marriage number 2 was now in the mix. After my last brother was born, we moved back to Lubbock, Texas, and from Lubbock, Texas, we moved to Houston.
Oh, Lord.
Too bad I couldn't get freaking flyer miles from all that moving. Now, when Houston didn't work out, we moved back to Fort Worth, Texas.
Lord.
The city where I graduated from the one and only O.D. Wide High School. Get live, O.D. O.D., get live. That's where I met and fell in love with a beautiful, light-skinned, light-skinned girl named Tamala Johnson.
I was born Tamala Jean Johnson, the youngest of 14 kids. I stuck out like a sore thumb. I was lighter than any of my siblings, so they called me the white sheep of the family. I was the baby, too. Most of my brothers and sisters had grown up by the time I was born, so I had to figure a lot of things out on my own. Couple that with the fact that I had a different father from the rest of my brothers and sisters. Plus, I was the only one in my family that graduated from high school. So trust me, my family didn't know what to do with me. But eventually, they figured it out. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. We moved some, but not as much as David's family moved. My mom tried to keep us together as much as possible. But with 14 children, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. Mama was a praying woman. She was a faithful woman. She took her walk with God seriously. She knew she couldn't give us much, but she gave us God. And that was more than enough for me. Of the many gifts she gave me as a child, the greatest gift was my relationship with Christ. I guess you could say I grew up in a single-parent home. I had a couple of stepfathers over the years, and our family was very blended, but my mother was the permanent fixture in my life. My biological father was never around, and sometimes my stepfathers were there, and sometimes they weren't. The closest thing I had for a father figure was my mother's second husband, Mr. Dahl Cooper. Mr. Cooper loved my mother and always wanted her to reach for the stars. He tried to help her rise beyond her third grade level of education. And I believe he wanted to get Mom out of poverty, but she never did. It's so ironic because Mother had such great faith in God and could believe for everybody else, but I really don't think she believed that she could come out of poverty. Mr. Dahl was sent by God to help her see life differently. When I was 12 years old, man, Mr. Dahl died. He had plenty of land, houses, cars, property. But when his family came to the funeral, they claimed all his possessions and left Mama with nothing. And she had helped him build and sustain his life, and they left her with absolutely nothing. She was there when he took his last breath. And even though they had their ups and downs, his family didn't think enough of her and her 14 kids to leave her with a car to ride in. Mr. Dahl was Mama's everything. So when he passed away, she didn't have nothing to build from. Man, he was a gift. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good guy. I miss him. I always felt like if Mr. Dahl was alive, not only would he have helped my mom change her mindset, but he would have also helped me take education more seriously. I believe eventually I would have gone to college, but we were poor. Who was going to pay for college? My brothers had a Social Security check coming in, and my mother received a welfare check every month. That's how we survived. My family made it on 2 fish, 5 loaves, and a lot of faith. Ha! Yes, we did. I guess that's why ownership is so important to me now. My mother never owned anything, and I believe that affected her. She didn't own a car. She didn't own her own house. She rented houses and borrowed cars. My uncles and aunts did. But my mother didn't have anything to call her own. As a result, she settled for what people told her she could have instead of dreaming big enough to get what she deserved. When I turned 8 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior of my life. Though I was young, I was serious about my journey. I'll never forget my first choir solo, "I Don't Feel No Ways Tired," by James Cleveland. I don't feel no waste time. Woo! Get happy just thinking about it. Okay, we're back. I sang it all the time, and when I got to the bridge, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Tears would just roll down my face. I would weep and weep as I sang. The ad-libs reminded the congregation that God had kept my mom and God had kept my family. And before I knew it, the church was standing and praising God with me. Oh, man. That's some memories right there. Now, remember, I'm 8 years old. I hadn't been through a whole lot, but I had seen enough to know that God was faithful. Faith is funny like that sometimes. Some might think, how can an 8-year-old girl be able to have faith like that? To that, I'll say, Jesus said, you have to have faith like a child. And with God, all things are possible. Around the same time I got saved, my mother was diagnosed with pneumonia. Her illness kept her bedridden for a long time. Since most of my siblings moved out, I had to learn to fend for myself. This pushed me into survival mode. As a young girl, I learned to cook for myself, clean for myself, take care of myself. I had to take care of myself when nobody else was around. But the truth is, it wasn't me. God kept me. Even when I didn't know it, experiencing God's faithfulness as a child helped me trust Him as an adult. I survived some painful things as a child. Some memories were so painful that I blocked them out. But through the pain and the struggle, I never let go of God. And I never let go of my song. God used my singing to draw me to Him. I was so young, but God used my voice to save me from myself. He used this gift to protect me from the dangers of life. Whenever I sang, "I Don't Feel No Ways Tired," I knew that a brighter day was coming. Even through moments of darkness, it was instilled in my heart early on. I believed that God was going to use me beyond my wildest dreams. So as long as I can remember, from the time of 8 years old until right now, God has been building my faith, giving me a testimony to lean on when the road got rough and the going got tough. I knew God was for me and with me, even when I was alone.
Tough is a perfect word to describe how it felt to be a man without a father. Me, I was like a father to my younger brothers during a time when I needed a father myself. You see, my older brother went to live with my grandparents, and since I was the oldest, or I guess the next in line at home, I became the father figure. I was the disciplinarian, I was the example, but I was also a child. Today, many people see me as the outgoing comedian and social butterfly, but surprisingly, I was very shy when I was growing up. I didn't talk much in class. My, have things changed. And my teachers were so impressed by my behavior, I was named Good Citizen of the School. That pretty much meant I was the best kid in the whole school.
When was that? And how old were you, 5?
Look, you can't just say congratulations to a brother. Always trying to just say congratulations.
Congratulations.
See, thank you. That's better. Now, in the 4th grade, I figured out that I could make people laugh, and it was downhill from there. They say people who like to make people laugh do so to keep from crying.
Who is they?
Them.
Who is them?
They. Anyway, in other words, most comedians entertain as a way to mask, hide, or use their pain for a greater purpose. That's what I did. I saw a lot of painful things in my home. And I channeled that pain into something helpful and useful. Ultimately, it made me the guy that I am today. That's why I say every painful experience became a necessary ingredient for the life I wanted to live. Now, because my mom moved us around so much when I was a kid, I vowed to be a stable man. Because my dad was absent for my entire life, I vowed to be a present father. Because my mother was married 3 times, and each time the verbal and physical abuse got worse and worse, I vowed to be a committed, loving husband. All the painful experiences of my past helped me to become a better man for my future. That's something you need to know about me to understand me. I'm playful, I'm fun, but when I commit, I'm in it to win it. Everything I did, even as a boy, I committed to it. If I played a sport, I was committed. I didn't let anything stop me. I felt like the moment I stopped would be the moment I failed. Like my mom, I kept going no matter what. Drawn to the limelight. During my years at O.D. Wyatt High School, I was pretty involved. I was on the football team, the track team, I sang in the choir, I was on the boxing team, I was a member of the drama club. But my mom was so busy working 3 jobs at one time just to make ends meet, she didn't have time to come to any of my games or matches. I think in all 4 years I played, my mom may have come to 1 football game and 1 boxing match. She was kind of frustrated and overwhelmed with life that I understand it now, but I didn't understand it back then. A lot of times, my mom kind of took her frustration out on us. She wasn't the nurturing type. She was, boy, if you don't do what I say, I'll knock you. She was that kind. She didn't have a lot of time to cuddle and hug us. She couldn't give us her undivided attention and affection because she was working. I think that's why I learned to live for Friday nights in high school. The football field was where I got the attention and affirmation that I wanted to get from my mom. I'm telling you, Friday night was the best time of the week. Every Friday during football season, my adrenaline ran high, and I couldn't wait to get out there on that football field with my best friend, Jesse Hurst, Cedric Smith, Anthony Brooks, under the leadership of Coach Willie Chris.
I need y'all to get out there on that football field and give it your all, young man. You understand me?
Don't tell him I put this on recording, y'all. Coach Chris was a major mentor to me in high school. He knew I didn't have a father in the home, so he treated me like I was one of his sons. He didn't just teach me to play on the field. He taught me the principles for life. He helped me to see my value beyond the sports I played. And he's one of the reasons I was able to push through my pain and find a greater purpose through it all. Coach Chris was a surrogate father to me, and to this very day, we still keep in close contact. Now, Coach Chris and my choir teacher, Miss Jewel Faye Kelly, were my saving grace, both sent by God to help me find my voice. Finding my voice. Miss Kelly literally helped me find my voice in chorus class by giving me several opportunities to lead songs despite my hesitation. I wasn't unfamiliar with singing. My mother was a phenomenal singer and musician. For years, she led the choir and played the piano for our church. So, with my mother's passion and Miss Kelly insisting on training me vocally, I now see God was using each person to mold me in an area. I never expected to make a career out of music. Soon, I was singing in local groups and local choirs, and because of Miss Kelly, I felt like I sounded pretty good. So good, in fact, that my buddy Cedric and I decided to start a little rock band. Looking back on it, we sucked. But we won the talent show in school that Tam attended, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Tam?
Right. I'll never forget that talent show. That's the one you tore your shirt off at the end of the performance?
And that's the night you fell in love, right?
What? No, sweetheart, not true.
You don't have to be shy.
Tell them.
When you seen this strong body peeking from underneath that shirt, it was love at first sight. Dark chocolate.
No, it was not love at first sight. I actually felt bad for you.
Feel bad? Why?
Because y'all sounded a mess. No, it's all good.
What?
But the audience loved you. If they liked it, I love it.
Well, when was the moment? Okay, what happened? How did we meet and how did we fall in love then?
I don't think we would have ever met or fallen in love if it wasn't for Nicole Jones.
All the girls came running to the stage, David Mann! David Mann! And you were in the back hating.
I was not hating.
You were hating.
I was standing back there looking like, look at this nut.
You could have just been like, that's my future husband.
Not at all. We wasn't even...
Just go to the next chapter.
Oh, Eddie Kane.
I happened on you. That's what a real brother would do. They will happen on you.
Sam, you ready? Please.
That's
be
what
ready.
Happened to her. I happened.
Are you
on
ready,
her.
Sir?
You couldn't help but to fall in love.
I
with
can't
me.
Hear you because this person.
You couldn't opened. Help but to fall in love with
oh,
me.
Oh, help him, Holy Ghost.
Falling in love with me wasn't a choice, girl.
Help him, Lord.
I happened on you.
You happened on me.
I imprinted.